No risk it, no biscuit.
Coming from the Arizona desert, presented by SBNation.com. For Arizona Cardinals fans, by Arizona Cardinals fans, with outsider and insider's perspective, this is Revenge of the Birds.
And we have joining us today on the show, BleedingGreenNation.com's lead writer, our Philadelphia Eagles team site from SB Nation. We have their lead writer with us today. That's Brandon Gauton. How are you doing today, Brandon?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for asking.
Well, thanks for the time out for talking to us here on Revenge of the Birds Radio. Want to talk to kind of getting ready for the game against the Eagles. The Cardinals and the Eagles have a recent history of at least the Cardinals have recent domination or kind of have this magical spell over the Eagles the past few years. What do Eagles fans think of the Cardinals these days?
Well, this year I think they think they're a very good team. They see a team that's won a couple games in a row here. They see a team that has a defense that's playing really well and that's led by former Eagles defensive coordinator Todd Bowles. They see a team with a veteran quarterback Carson Palmer, who is leading an offense that's not the best in the league, but they're scoring points. They put up 40 against the Colts last week. So they see a team that's looking tough.
Now, about Todd Bowles, what was the impression of Bowles when he took over for Juan Castillo? What was, obviously the numbers looked bad, looked atrocious. What was the general feeling in Philadelphia while he was on staff there and when during that period in which he took over?
Well, I think when they hired this guy, there was so much positive stuff out there about him. A lot of people around the league were excited about him, prospect of him being a coordinator one day. And the way Philadelphia brought him to the organization, he wasn't, you know, the defensive coordinator at first. It was Juan Castillo, who was a converted offensive line coach. And then Castillo got fired early in the season, right in the Eagles' bye week early in the season, and they replaced him with Bowles. And it's kind of hard to gauge Bowles in his time here because he didn't have the full offseason to really set up his system. He was kind of forced to work with what he had and forced to run a system that he really didn't want to run. He was working with a team that was utilizing the wide nine defensive alignment up front with the defensive ends lining them out wide. And that doesn't seem to be something that Todd Bowles really wanted to do. So this wasn't a good fit. So it's kind of hard to gauge him on the results here. Obviously, they weren't good, and a lot of fans, I think, weren't really sad to see him go because of that. But at the same time, I think they understand that we didn't really get to see the true guy with his pieces and his formation and having the time to set all of that up.
Well, it's interesting. And then with the coaching change, you guys, it's really kind of interesting because now you guys over there in Philadelphia have a guy that we are familiar with in Billy Davis. And he was not highly thought of when he was here. Tell us about Billy Davis and the evolution of the defense since the start of the season. As clearly the beginning of the season was very difficult defensively. How's it going now?
Right, and Davis came here with the same kind of, fans weren't exactly excited about him. Because you saw the numbers and you saw the track record, and there's really not a lot to be impressed from there. So a lot of fans weren't high on the move. And then he came in here and he got off to the rough start. The defense wasn't really playing that well to open the season, so, you know, he was kind of just had a really bad start here. But since then, since a couple weeks now, it's actually been 7 weeks in a row where the Eagles have held their opponent to 21 points or less, which is the best in the NFL in that span. No other team has done that recently. So they're not a top defense in the league. They're not the Kansas City Chiefs. They're not the Arizona Cardinals. They're not the Seattle Seahawks. But they're a defense right now that's playing good enough. And the kind of the motto of this defense is the bend but don't break kind of cliche, where they're going to allow yards. The Eagles are, I believe, last or 31st in yards allowed. But it doesn't matter because they're letting these teams get into the end zone, and they're either forcing a turnover or they're forcing them to kick the field goal. So they're not allowing the points that the yards would attribute to normally. So I think if the fans are starting to get excited about a defense that it's not perfect, but they can just get the job done. They can be good enough.
Does Billy Davis, I mean, the way he has the defense set up, he obviously had worked for many years under Dick LeBeau. Does it look like that? Does it kind of have a philosophy like that where you can see Billy Davis and you can see what Ray Horton did? Because Ray Horton was very much like Dick LeBeau's system with his own added wrinkles.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're seeing a 3-4 defense here, and that's something that's brand new in Philadelphia. We hadn't seen that before. You're seeing some guys who are transitioning from the 4-3 because obviously they only had the one off season to switch from the 4-3 to the 3-4. I think you're seeing what a Bill Davis defense is supposed to look like. We're starting to see pressure from blitzing and just the front seven playing well and making tackles and getting pressure. They really got to RG3 last week and forced a turnover and just were on them all day. And then on the outside, you have the secondary, which is, it's not quite as polished as the front seven. But overall, yeah, I think you're starting to see what the kind of defense Billy Davis is supposed to be running. And that's the one that Chip Kelly wanted. I think he wanted a defense, one of the 3-4 attacking defense that kind of forces turnovers and gets pressure. And it's not going to be maybe the top-ranked defense in the league, like I said, but it's going to be good enough to help you win the game.
So where's the strength of the defense? Are there any individuals that we should be looking at it that Cardinals fans will be seeing attack the offensive line? Obviously, the offensive line has not been a strength for the Cardinals. However, they've had better play, adequate play over the last few weeks. And when compared to last season, at least the sack numbers are way down. The pressure numbers are still up there. Where does the strength in the defense lie?
The strength right now definitely lies in the Eagles' front seven, specifically the guys up front on the defensive line. You have Fletcher Cox, former first-round pick, starting at defensive end on one side, and he can get after the passer. He's a great athlete. He's very disruptive. He can push the pocket. He can also play against the run. And then, speaking of playing against the run, you have Cedric Thornton, who's a lesser-known guy. He was an undrafted free agent a couple years ago, and he really has come on. J.J. Watt leads the league in run tackles, stops on the run, but Cedric Thornton is really right. I think he's number two. He's right behind him, playing really well, and he stopped the run. And then you have rookie Benny Logan, who has taken over at nose tackle. The Eagles originally had added Isaac Sokolaga to play that spot, but then they traded him to the Patriots because they felt he was no longer needed. And Logan against the Redskins last week was really pushing the pocket and getting pressure on RG3. So you look at this matchup of the Cardinals offensive line that isn't playing so well, and the Eagles front seven, and specifically the defensive line that's getting pressure and attacking up front, and I think that's a matchup that favors the Eagles potentially.
Okay, and then in the defensive backfield, obviously kind of the strength in the Cardinals offense is the talent at wide receiver with Larry Fitzgerald, who in his career has been absolutely dynamic against Philadelphia, when he's averages about six catches a game, almost 120 yards, and almost a couple of touchdowns in the games that he's played against Philly. But not only that, now we have Michael Floyd over here. The Cardinals have Michael Floyd, who has kind of broken out and put together some very nice games. What does the defensive secondary, what will we see matched up against Fitz and Floyd?
You're going to see... Well, starting Eagles cornerback Bradley Fletcher has been out the past. He left the Raiders game early, so he's been out a game or two here. So he's back, and that's big for the Eagles because he's not exactly the most. He's not a playmaker by any means, but he's solid and he's a physical corner. He's a bigger corner, which helps the Eagles going up against the big wide receivers that the Cardinals have. And on the other side, you have Kerry Williams, who he's not exactly a lockdown corner himself. He's going to allow a lot of catches. He allows a lot of yards. But the positive about him is he's a good tackler. So once the wide receiver makes the catch, he's not going to allow you to get a lot of yards after that catch. And that's where they really start to tighten down when you see him in the red zone. So it's going to be tough because for the Eagles, that is, because the Cardinals do have these good wide receivers that you mentioned, and the Eagles cornerbacks aren't as good. But just the fact that the Eagles have these bigger corners, that's kind of their goal, is to kind of match them up with bigger wide receivers.
Now we move to the other side of the ball. Obviously, you have you've got Chip Kelly with his fast offense, and it doesn't even look the way it did to start the year. As Michael Vick has suffered injuries, and now Nick Foles has come in and played lights out. Well, first of all, what is different about Foles this year? Because when we saw him last year and he played, he was a turnover machine. What is different?
Well, the turnovers, yeah, right. I mean, he hasn't, except for one fumble against the Packers, with kind of a questionable play, he hasn't really turned the ball over at all. He's thrown, I think, 18 touchdowns without a single interception. That's pretty impressive. And obviously those numbers are kind of going to regress here at some point, you would have to think. But Nick Foles has really, he's matured in his second year, and he showed maturation, and he's playing well right now. He still holds onto the ball for a decent amount of time at times, but he's throwing his wide receivers open. He's reading the defense. He's making the right reads when they're running the read option. And, sometimes he's keeping the ball himself and he's getting 6 yards or so. He's not the fastest quarterback, but he can try to get a couple yards here and there. He actually outrushed RG3 when the Eagles and Redskins played last week. So he's just playing well right now, and he just looks like a player that spent the time in the offseason to work on his game and polish his game, and he entered a competition for the quarterback spot between Nick Foles and Michael Vick. And Foles didn't win it, but I think it really helped push him, forced himself to push him to get better, and I think we're seeing the benefits of that competition right now.
So do Philly fans, do the coaching staff, the buzz out there, do they believe that Foles could be the guy moving forward as their quarterback of the now and the future?
Well, for right now, definitely Nick Foles is the quarterback. Chip Kelly named him the official starter for the rest of the year. So he definitely is the guy for right now, barring an injury where Michael Vick would step back in until Foles got better. But now, for right now, Nick Foles is the guy. And moving forward, it's a big question Philadelphia has to answer. But there's really no better test than this upcoming schedule that the Eagles have here. They have 5 games to go. They're 6-5. The NFC East is ripe for the taking if they win out. I mean, that's going to be hard to do. But they just need to play well down the stretch, and specifically Nick Foles needs to play well down the stretch. Because if he struggles here, and let's say the Eagles go 1-4, then they're obviously not going to make the playoffs. And I think a lot of people question if Nick Foles is going to be the guy.
So now you talked about the read option. With being a Pac-12 guy out here, I graduated from Arizona State. I have a season ticket holder at Arizona State myself, so I see a lot of Pac-12 football, and I've seen just the insane pace of Oregon football out here. How similar, how fast is it, and how much read option? I mean, Bruce Arians said today, was quoted as saying the right read option is a good college offense. How much read option is Philadelphia running as opposed to more traditional sets?
I think it's like anything Chip Kelly does. He's not always locked into a certain thing, but he says it's a weapon that he can use when he wants to break it out, just like the tempo is. They do like to run the ball pretty fast in terms of moving the ball after the play and, you know, getting off to the next play. And that's something that they stressed in the Washington game this time, just last week. It's not something they always do. Sometimes they run a little bit slower. I think it really depends on the matchup. And depending on when you're seeing the read option again, that's probably more of a matchup thing. Nick Foles, you know, he's not going to be the dynamic runner that Michael Vick is or any kind of running quarterback is when he's executing the read option. But like I said, he can run a respectable, you know, 6 yards here or there, pick up the first down, or just, you know, help get a couple yards to set up a second and short. And that's something we saw against Washington. So, to answer your question, I think, again, it just all depends on the matchups.
So, now, so we've got the league's leading rushing offenses, am I correct?
Right.
Led by Shady McCoy. and the Cardinals have the league's second best rushing defense behind only the New York Jets. What
something's
do you
give.
Something? I mean, something you've got the immovable object and an unstoppable force. What are we going to see? Where do you see the matchups happening? What do you see? How successful do you think that the Philly offense can be against the Arizona defense? Looking at what they've done, they had 2 weeks in which they had a tough time with stopping the run, and that was only late in the game against San Francisco when they were rallying. Larry Fitzgerald fumbled the ball, and it looked like they were about to take the lead. And then San Francisco went on an 18-play drive to kind of just kill any hopes the Cardinals had, in which they rushed the ball 12 times. Outside of that, and a little bit on the Seattle game, they've been very, very effective at stopping the run. How do you see that matching up, at least with this offense?
Well, I think back to when the Eagles played the Packers in week 10 or so, and the Packers had a top five run defense. They still might. The Packers were allowing an average of about 90.5 yards a game or so, and the Eagles rushed for over 200 that day. So the Eagles rushed for more than twice of what the Packers were allowing. And I think back to when the Eagles played the Chiefs in the third week of the season. The Chiefs kept the Eagles to low points on the board, but the Eagles were moving the ball. I think they totaled something like 400-plus yards on offense. So the Eagles, they're probably not going to have too much trouble moving the ball. Of course, I'm going to jinx it here by saying that, but I think they're going to be able to move the ball. It's going to be tough, again, because I do respect, and I think you have to give a lot of credit to the Cardinals' defense, but the way Chip Kelly's offense is running sometimes, it just seems like it's an unstoppable force as long as they're executing. The only times they were really shut down is when they were playing the Giants and the Cowboys in that home stretch in the middle of the season where Michael Vick was hurt and they had to put Matt Barkley in, and that was just a disaster. He's a rookie. And the other week, Nick Foles it was unclear if he was injured or something, but he just didn't look anything like the Nick Foles we've seen in all the other games we've seen in this season. So the Cardinals have a great defense, like I said, and it's going to be something's got to give here because they have a great run defense and the Eagles have a great run offense. It's going to be interesting to see. I like to give the tie to the runner. I mean, that might sound like a homer pick here, but I'm thinking the Eagles offense, they can work something out.
All right. Speaking of Matt Barkley, obviously the stints that he had in the lineup didn't work out real well. How has he been? Has there been any talk of him, of how he is in the quarterback room, in the practice field? Is there any sense that perhaps there is potential down the line that he could be a frontline starter?
I was there for every day, you know, Eagles training camp, and I watched him every day, and I really did not see a guy who's ready to play in the NFL right now. Matt Barkley definitely has some good traits about him. I like his accuracy at times. I like his poise. I like his he does a good job of commanding the team, moving to set up the ball. You know, he looks like a leader out there, but he lacks some physical gifts, and he lacks this kind of NFL look to him right now. We saw him in preseason again, and then in training camp, and I looked at a player and I just like that, and I just did not see a guy who was ready to play right now. So in terms of looking at the future and seeing what he could be in the future, that's a big question mark. I think the most realistic and ideal scenario is he develops into like a very quality backup quarterback. You know, he's not a guy who's going to be really starting in the NFL, but he can come in for a game or two or whatever and hold the fort down while the starter would hopefully return in a couple weeks in the future.
Interesting. Well, all right. So one other question about the team in general. What has been this year the woes at the link? Over the last since 2010, Philadelphia's 10-19 at home. How does that, especially since there's a couple of playoff appearances in there, how do you explain the woes that they've had at home this season and in over the past few years, in fact?
Yeah, before last week, or the 2 weeks ago against the Redskins, the Eagles had not won a home game since September 30th, 2012, so it's been a long time. And it's really hard to say. I mean, you know, the fans, I'm there every home game, you know, I'm in the press box. I see the fans, you know, they get up for the game, they get loud. But I think the Eagles have just, for whatever reason, they played poorly at home. And, you know, the fans, I think they lose it early sometimes. You'll see the Eagles maybe make a bad play or something, and then it kind of just discourages everyone. It kind of just takes the, like, it makes it flat, kind of takes the breath out of everyone and kind of just takes away some of the fire. I think that was totally changed when we saw the Eagles play the Redskins the other week. You could tell from the moment the game started, they were into this. You know, they knew how big of a game that was, and they know the team is looking to be competitive again, and I think they're really into it now. I think they've turned a corner with that losing home streak.
Okay. Got to do a couple things to wrap things up, but I want to do one thing. Well, one, I'm going to give you a prediction. I have you give a prediction. That's the end right now. I want you to give me kind of the keys of the game from the perspective of the Eagles. The Eagles will beat the Cardinals if complete that.
The Eagles will beat the Cardinals if they can win the turnover battle. I know that sounds simple, and you can almost say that for every game, but I've been looking at the numbers, and the Cardinals turn the ball over quite a bit. I think it's sixth most in the league. On the other hand, they have a defense that forces a lot of turnovers, but I think what we talked about before with the matchup between the Eagles' defensive line and the front seven and the Cardinals' offensive line kind of being a weakness, I think if they can rattle Carson Palmer and get to him and maybe force some fumbles or make some bad throws, I think that could be a big key to the Eagles winning and getting points off turnovers and maybe operating on short fields against this tough Arizona defense.
Okay. And key matchup, what's the matchup you're most excited for, and what's the matchup you're least excited for looking at the game?
Well, I'll start with least, because that's the first thing that jumps into my mind, and that's anyone pretty much who's going against Kerry Williams. Like I said, because Kerry Williams is going to give up a lot of yards. He's going to give up a lot of catches. That's just what he does, because he plays so far off as a man. I'm guessing they're going to have Fitzgerald across from him, or it might be Floyd. I'm not sure what they're going to do, or if they're going to switch or whatever, but I think that's a matchup that scares me, definitely, because the Eagles are going to have to deal with these big receivers, and they just don't have the talent to deal with them. And then as for a matchup that I do like, I like the Eagles' defensive line against the Cardinals' offensive line. I think they're going to get pressure. I think Fletcher Cox specifically is going to have a big day. He's going to get by the Cardinals' offensive line, force some pressure, get some sacks.
And one final thing. Your prediction. Philadelphia, according to Vegas, is favored by 3, a standard home team line. What is your game prediction? Do they win? And if they win, do they cover? And if you had to pick a final score, what would be your prediction?
Yeah, it's going to be a close one. So, you know, Philadelphia is the favorite by 3 points. I think it's going to be 23-20, because you've looked at this Eagles team, they haven't allowed 21 points or more in those 7 games, like I mentioned. So I think that's going to go to 8. I think it's going to be a tough game. It's not going to be an easy one by any means. But I think they get a field goal late. I think it's 20-20 late, and they get a game-winning field goal to make the score 23-20. The Eagles win.
All right. This is Revenge of the Birds Radio. We've been listening to Brandon Gauton, who is from BleedingGreenNation.com, our Philadelphia Eagles SB Nation site. You can follow Brandon it's really simple, at Brandon Gauton, last name Gowton. Check out the site, BleedingGreenNation.com. It's a big one. You've got Philly fans, and they do a good job over there. I appreciate your time, Brandon, and we will see how this goes on Sunday.
Yes, we will, and thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Revenge of the Birds. Keep the conversation going by visiting revengeofthebirds.com. Follow us on Twitter at Revenge of Birds. You can also find us on iTunes at facebook.com/Revenge of the Birds.